All right, guys, welcome to Deborah Gets Red Pilled, episode 45. It's Saturday, April 10th, 2021. I'm coming at you from the lovely outskirts of the communist think tank of Portland, Oregon. Deborah's not here yet. I just wanted to get going because we got a lot of stuff to burn through in this intro. My wife FaceTimed her earlier today at like 8 this morning, and she was looking pretty rough. She was sleeping at her sister's house. I think she got super fucked up last night, so I don't know. Hopefully she shows up soon. So guys, we have a pretty amazing schedule coming up. This next week, we've got a couple heavy hitters. So stay tuned. We're going to be putting out some extra episodes. I had to fit some very important people in times that I normally wouldn't, but they're of the status that they get preferential treatment. Here's Deborah. I'm letting her in. Okay, she's still getting organized, so she'll be here in a second. She's milling around in the background. Guys, tomorrow, Sunday, live at 4:30, we're doing a swap cast with Truthzilla, Sean Dustin, and the great Sam Tripoli will be on it as well. So that's going to be live streaming on YouTube on Sean Dustin's channel. I'll put the link where you can find that on in the show notes so you guys can watch tomorrow. Hey, what's going on? We've got a lot of stuff to burn through, so I got started a little bit before you got here. Are you there?
I'm here.
Okay. Are you hungover?
No.
You looked pretty rough this morning.
Well, I was in bed.
Yeah. Okay. I was just telling everybody that we're doing the swap cast tomorrow with Sean, Truthzilla, and Sam Tripoli. Mm-hmm. That's at 4:30. We're going to go for an hour on Sean Dustin's channel live. Then we're going to take a little 20-minute break. Then at 6 o'clock, we're going live on Rogueways with Lindsay on her channel. And I'm not sure if it's for everybody or just Patreon. I just sent her a message to ask, but I'll find out. And if it is, I'll put that in the show notes too so you guys can watch that live. And I'm at least going to get the swap cast with Sam and Sean and Truthzilla, and I'll put that out as our episode next week. So, Deborah, we got an intense schedule coming up.
Yeah, I know.
I'm working overtime. Let's keep it a secret. We got some special people coming up. I think I already leaked it. We got Jason Burmes coming on Thursday. I already told everybody about that. And I know you're not that familiar with him, but if you're in the conspiracy world, he's a big deal.
Okay.
And then Friday, I can't believe who we got coming on. So that's a surprise. But if you had told me in August when we did that terrible first podcast that, you know, what is it? 7-8 months later, I'd be talking to that guy. I wouldn't believe you. So yeah, good stuff coming up, guys. And then we got some emails this week, guys. We want your emails. We love hearing from you. I try to respond to everybody. We got some really nice emails from Cody Hoffman. I got a couple from him. I just responded to him right now. And we got another one from Tony Sotelo. Cody sent us a nice little donation.
Thank you, Cody.
And Cody sent us a donation, and then Tony said that we should check out this thing called the Diehold Foundation, D-I-E-H-O-L-D Foundation. And I looked up their website and it looked wild. It's something you really have to take some time to look through and not just mess around on your phone. Go to it, look it up on your computer. He said if we could get the guy that runs that thing, I forget his name, it'd be a good show. But I got to figure out what they're even all about. So it'll take some time. But thanks for the recommendations. Cody sent a donation. Value for value, guys. Every little bit helps out. We're really grateful for everybody that's given us money. We're still working towards that $100 from 1,000 people goal. That would be beautiful for me. We're pretty far away, but that would be a nice. And we've gotten $100 from a few people, so you know it's definitely doable. We just got to keep plugging away, and then I could be a full time podcaster, giving you guys so much good stuff. You know, we got to make hay while the sun is shining, because Deborah's got 2 or 3 years of cognitive ability left until I stuff her in a state funded home. So, you pay attention. What's going on with you? You had dinner with your sister last night. Mm-hmm. You got super wasted.
No.
White girl wasted. Rosé?
Pinot. Okay. Thank you.
All right. Cool. Where was it at? The Polo Club?
Yes, exactly. Outside dining, under the stars.
That's nice.
With the people who all have hair like me.
There's a lot of guys in khakis and navy blue blazers, a lot of that.
No, very cash. We had some nice Hawaiian shirts going, and
some Tommy Bahamas. Good look. I'm making I got a couple carcasses from the chickens that I grew, and I'm making bone stock right now. I'm pretty excited. Wow. It's been on there for about an hour. The house smells really good.
Really? I tried I think it was chicken bone stock. And my house stunk.
Oh, it smelled bad.
Oh, it was awful. And I had some veggies going in there also, but it was bad. I don't know what I did, but it was not good.
I put like a whole head of garlic in mine. So it's probably mostly just smelling that.
Yeah, even my dogs wouldn't have anything to do with it. It was so bad.
Yeah.
So if yours works out, you'll have to let me know.
It'll work out great. I watched some YouTube videos, and I'm looking forward to it. Monica Perez also sent me a really good recipe that I can make with the chicken feet that I have in the freezer. So I'm going to do that probably tomorrow. Maybe one. I still have my carcass in the freezer in a garbage bag from Thanksgiving from the turkey. So I might use that tomorrow with the chicken feet and see what happens. But so did you pay attention to the news at all this week?
Not a bit.
Well, my back's getting pretty sore. You know why?
Because you're carrying the heavy load.
I'm carrying the show. So Georgia voting, you haven't heard anything like that?
You know, not enough to tell you that I do.
Yeah. Well, so like we talked about it a little bit, they're equating having to show a license to vote as worse than Jim Crow. Your buddy Joe Biden said it's not Jim Crow. This is Jim Eagle was his quote.
Okay.
So the Major League Baseball was supposed to have their All-Star game in Atlanta. You're and right. They pulled out because of this great travesty of having to show an ID to vote. They relocate it to Denver. Guess what you need to vote in Colorado?
Your student ID.
A license, a government ID. So this is just nonsensical. All these, you know how they film a ton of stuff in Georgia now? Have you ever noticed that?
Yeah. A lot of
like when you see the credits and then at the bottom, there's like a peach. Cause you watch, what's it called? Walking Dead, right?
Yeah,
that's like that. So all these production companies are threatening to pull out. Major League Baseball pulls the All-Star game out. And it's just like, they're punishing the government of Georgia by just taking money away from, you know, small business owners and all these people that would make a living because of those things being allowed to be there. It's like when we put all these sanctions on these like Middle Eastern countries for like what's it called, you know, human rights violations and things like that. And we're like, oh, your government sucks so bad. you guys are horrible to your population. So we're going to make it so that food and medical supplies can't come to all your little babies, and they're going to die. And then people like Madeleine Albright, Secretary of State under Bill Clinton, says that it was, you know, an acceptable loss of 500,000 dead children. She said that on 60 Minutes, right?
Yeah.
So just doesn't seem to make sense. The NBA is doing the same thing, you know. They're like full on Black Lives Matter, social justice, voting rights. But you know what the NBA, you know where they make most of their money?
Advertising.
No, what location? Oh. What country?
Huh. Wow, I don't know.
China. China loves NBA basketball. It's huge there. There's as many fans of NBA basketball in China as there are people in America. I don't know how they qualify fans, but they make most of their money. So do you think, what do you think China's, how's China's democratic process?
Oh boy. No such thing.
Yeah. Do you remember, like, do you remember the Hong Kong riots?
Which ones?
The ones that happened that got kind of shut down by COVID, like the ones that were going on.
No.
I think, you know, like how Hong Kong is part of China, but it's like its own separate thing. Yeah. It was run by England. So it was England. It was like capitalist. It was kind of separate from the Communist Party of China. I don't know what the deal was. Something like China was trying to take it back or something like that. And people were rioting. People in Hong Kong didn't want it. And like the general manager of the Houston Rockets was like, I stand with Hong Kong. And he got in so much trouble for it by the NBA. They shut him up because China sees that. And they're like, oh, that's how you guys are going to control your people. Well, we'll uh-huh. just stop letting the NBA be here. And that's like most of their money is gone. So, yeah. So Charles Barkley, are you familiar with him?
Yeah.
He's like an analyst on the NBA, for the NBA, I think on TNT or wherever they have most of their games. I don't watch basketball, so I don't know. But he went on and he like had this beautiful, like 1 minute long speech where he just said, you know, most white people are good. Most black people are good. And it's just these rich, powerful elites and politicians who are trying to get them to fight against each other so that they ignore what's going on.
Thank you.
And what's going on, you know, that they're doing behind the scenes. It was pretty cool to see that on.
When did he say that?
Sometime last week. So that's a big deal, you know, yeah. And because the NBA is just losing massive amounts of viewers because they're so invested in like all this social justice and Black Lives Matter and stuff. It's just annoying. It's all they talk about. It's all over the court. It's all over their jerseys. It's just annoying. You know, you got people like LeBron James talking about how oppressed he was, but he's been, you know, filthy rich since he was 14 years old. So, yeah, in other news, there's a bunch of gun control stuff going on.
Yep.
Biden is quoted as saying no amendment is absolute. Probably referring to the Second Amendment, but does that mean that the 13th, are you familiar with the 13th Amendment?
Remind me.
It ended slavery.
Okay.
Is that one absolute or is no amendment absolute? How about the 16th Amendment? That's the one that implemented the federal income tax. That'd be a good one if it wasn't absolute. I don't think he means those two. He could mean, I mean, he's not going to say it out loud, but I wouldn't put it past him to want to repeal the 13th Amendment. I mean, Hillary Clinton used prison slave labor on her mansion grounds, so.
Damn.
Yeah. So he appointed a new ATF director, David Shipman. And if you've ever seen it, there's a famous picture from Waco. and it's this guy in military fatigues posing like in front of the burnt remains, still smoldering. Have you ever seen that picture?
No.
You probably have. No. You'd know it if you saw it. So he's posing amongst the burnt remains of the Mount Carmel home of the Branch Davidians. And inside those burning, that burning rubble are smoldering little children. And that guy's posing for a picture in front of it, you know, in front of an American flag, in front of that, like they did a great job. And that guy is the new ATF director. He's a big gun control advocate. He's going after ghost guns. Do you know what those are?
No. Mm-mm.
Ghost guns are homemade guns. I don't know anybody that does anything like that, but, you know, I heard some people might be making guns, AR-15s in their garage completely legally in most states, not where you live, but where I live, I heard some people do it. Maybe. I don't know. I don't know any of them, but, so they want, I don't know what they're planning on doing. I mean, I think all this gun control stuff is never, ever going to happen. It's always just on people's lips to get people to fight more. I don't know. You know, the only way that they could get rid of guns in America is they'll never get rid of homemade guns. They'll never get rid of 3D printed guns. And the only way that they could get rid of registered guns is because they're not going to send cops to people's houses to get guns. Right. That's going to go badly eventually. They're just going to tax them. They're going to be like, oh, you have a registered gun. You owe us $2,000 a year or something like that. You know, that's their only hope. So, but with the current technology of the day, we have 3D printers. And for the low price of under $300, you can get a 3D printer and go start downloading files. And you can go from not knowing anything, how to do anything, to printing a Glock 19 lower in a week. So, you know, it's a beautiful thing. It's it makes me happy to be an American that people are doing that. And there's no way that that can ever be quelled, you know. And if they come to your house and want your guns, give them your guns and then go to the garage and print another one, you know, print them up for the whole neighborhood. So you're a big AOC fan, right?
I'm not a big AOC fan, but
she's probably going to be our president someday. I have this, she was on this podcast, some sort of Jewish Zionist podcast. I'm a fan, big fan of Jews. I love you and I love your daughter very much. And you're both Jewish. I'm not a fan of Zionists. Zionists are kind of like Jewish white supremacists. But AOC went on this guy, I don't know if it's a podcast or some sort of live stream with some Jewish community leader in New York. You want to hear how it went? I'm going to put up Sure. my phone up to the. So he's going to ask her a question about like the settlements and the issues just between, you know, Israel and Palestine. Pretty basic question. Let's hear what she has to say about it.
What actions do you think can be taken to support movements towards peace, both between Israelis and Palestinians, as well as within the entire region, such as the Abraham Accords?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, you know, earlier just now, you and I were talking about the what and the how.
Yes.
And I think that when we talk about establishing peace, centering people's humanities, protecting people's rights, it's not just about the what and the end goal, which often gets a lot of focus. But I actually think it's much more about the how and the way that we are coming together and how we interpret that what and how we act in, you know, the actions that we take to get to that what. And so what this really is about is that it's a question more than anything else about process. And so we really need to make sure that that we are valuing a process where all parties are respected and have, you know, a lot of equal opportunity to really make sure that we are negotiating good faith, et cetera. That being said, you know, I think that there's just this one central issue of settlements. Because if the what that has been decided on is to stay, then the action of settlements is in it, it's not the how to get to that what. And so, you know, I think that that's a central thing that we need to make sure that we center and that we value Jewish and rather we value Israeli, we value the safety and the human rights of Israelis. We value the safety and the human rights of Palestinians in that process that is similar and that on equal footing. And so all of that is extremely important in that process. And, you know,
they're really showing themselves to do really well.
I have no idea what she just said. She was
yeah, because she didn't say anything. She never says anything. She just talks like that all the time. She just talks in circles about bullshit that's not real, and people love her for it. And, you know, she creates policy that affects your life. So, all right, guys, on that note, tell us what you think about AOC. She's got big teeth. She's got big jugs. She's got a tiny brain, but she knows how to propaganda. So on that note, we're going to pause. Our guests are here. We'll be right back. All right, guys, we're back, and we're here with our two guests today. We have Aaron and Kingsley Edwards from the Float app. How's it going, guys?
Great. Good. How are you?
We're doing well. Where are you guys at right now?
We are in Las Vegas.
Oh, okay.
You know, so sorry for that. We just woke up look and the cup of coffee.
Yeah. Hey, you're in good company.
Yeah. You should have seen Deborah earlier today. I saw her on a FaceTime call with my wife and she was looking rough.
Even rougher than I do right now.
This is your mother-in-law, right? So just you can Deborah's right on my the mother-in-law. Back of the head.
Deborah lives in Marin County, California. And I'm just outside of Portland, Oregon. So
I just think this is like the funnest podcast I think I've ever done.
Yeah.
I would love for my husband to do a podcast with my mom. I think it would be so funny.
Yeah.
We can do it.
Where do your guys' parents line up on all this stuff?
My mom is, she's into some stuff.
She's into some stuff. She is like so woke. It's crazy.
Sometimes, I'll be honest, like there's been a couple of years where I've been like, whoa, what is she getting into? But then I tell you what, a couple of years later,
I
come around to it. I'm like, you know what? I kind of see what you're saying. And I'm the original, like Ron Paul-er libertarian kind of person that kind of, you know, woke up, you know, in 2007. And so then, just cause she's been a housewife for so long. So she would just clean and cook and just listen to YouTube. And guess what? It definitely radicalized her.
Alex Jones did it again.
But the thing is that she used Google and YouTube, and I guess this can kind of lead into Float stuff, as it was intended. You know, it was it's a great resource tool to look into things that the mainstream media and mainstream everything, education and just doesn't cover. And now we've gone kind of backwards in time where they're starting to hide more and more information with these useful research tools like Google and YouTube. And, you know, that we just saw that becoming more and more of a problem, especially as our friends, you know, who are independent journalists that cover these types of things, started getting demonetized and deplatformed and shadow banned and all this kind of stuff. So
yeah,
that's why we created Float.
And my mom is very, right leaning.
Mm-hmm.
So she is, I mean, when I tell she's, you, she's, right.
She still thinks that Trump is going to like, you know, drive a tank to Washington, D.C. And
it was
he's secret president, man. Yeah.
He's a secret president.
He still has control of Air Force One.
Listen,
when I tell you that I called my mom on Biden's inauguration day and I was like, Mom, I just heard Donald Trump is in a tank on Pennsylvania Avenue. He's going to take over the White House. Da, da, da. And she's like, I know. I heard that too. I was like, Mom, I was kidding. I was joking. Come on.
Is she into like Q and stuff like that?
Yeah. So she, you know, she's a great woman.
I love her. Yeah, no, she is. So she's great. Much. And she, I will say that like I've been the black sheep in my family for such a long time. And
my
like,
fault.
Yeah, you do. And my mom has really come around over the years. Like, you know, she's always been a Republican. Actually, I would say she's more of like a moderate. You know, like I don't think she's voted like my whole life. Mm. She's very openly been against Democrats, but like since like everything got highly politicized, I think she really just resonated with Donald Trump, and then she just fell down that rabbit hole. But, you know, like my mom is now like she's questioning vaccines and, you know, like that's something the rest of my family does not do.
I mean, she's questioning everything, which is great. Yeah. Yeah. Although, yeah, it's funny because like we'll talk with her and then she'll seem like that she's getting over the queue. Bless you. It might take a while, hon.
Those are nice little sneezes.
Yeah, those are way, way
well,
more.
That's nothing.
Nice than like my wife.
But yeah, so we'll like, I feel like it's just funny because she's been on this Q train for a bit and then we'll talk with her and it seems like we've kind of gotten over that. It's like, okay, well, Trump isn't, you know, your savior. And then, but then, you know, fast forward like 24 hours and she's already sucked back into it.
Yeah,
so
she's like,
it's a work in progress.
Me and my sister are going to do a podcast about Trump. I was like, okay, lady, yeah. Go on with your bad self. It's good. It's cool.
Yeah. I've got multiple emails from people that listen to the show that were like, I tried to wake my mom up, my mom and my sister up to what's going on in the world. And they both went down, they're both QAnon people now. I'm like, oh man, that's crazy. Like I can't talk about any of this stuff to my parents. Like my mom was like a lifelong, you know, center left Democrat, you know, just status quo.
Sorry to hear that.
Yeah. It's a bummer. And then, I realized there was like I was never ever going to be able to talk to her. One time I went down to, she lives in a gated community in Palm Springs, you know, super against the wall, lives in a gated community with an armed guard at it, you know, but,
gun?
Yeah, a real gun in California.
Oh my God.
It was like right about the time, remember right before John McCain died, and how everybody on the left started loving him.
Yeah, yeah.
Like he was a great American. Yeah, that's
so George W. Bush, right?
Yeah, well, Deborah loves George W. Bush now because he holds hands with Michelle Obama.
That's the only reason. That's all.
And he does paintings and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
But so like my mom started talking to me about how great of a American John McCain was and, you know, how he'd really kind of made her think about, you know, so being like being a little more conservative, you know. But then I think they both had Trump derangement syndrome pretty bad. I think my dad, who was like a lifelong Republican, you know, just like neocon 80s type Reagan Republican, I think he got really turned off by Trump. And so, you know, they both were super stoked on the vaccine, got it as soon as they could. And you know, so I talked to Deborah about it. I can't talk to them about anything. I it's kind of a bummer. I've said it before on the show. I'm resigned to the fact that for the rest of my life, I'm probably going to talk to my parents about the weather like once a month.
That's so sad. Well, yeah. At least you have Deborah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Deborah. Thank you for being so open-minded.
Well, yeah. In all honesty, I mean, I have been a Democrat my entire life. And, you
me
know,
too.
I thought it was the right way to go. But
I loved Obama.
Yeah.
I voted for Obama. I met him. I was proud to tell him I voted for Obama. And then he asked me why. And I couldn't answer. I was just spewing out like things I had known about him from like the media. And he's like, okay, but that's not a reason. Like, why do you believe in the things that you believe in? And I couldn't answer him. And I just realized that once I couldn't defend my beliefs that I really stood by and like identified behind for so long, I was like completely lost. I was lost for like a week. And then he was like, research Ron Paul, figure it out. And I was like, okay. And yeah, that changed my life. Cause I mean, seriously, how many Democrats are out there that if you just ask them why they believe what they believe, they just look at you and they can't defend.
Or if you dig deeper into like what CNN or MSNBC or any of these other outlets are talking about, and you actually kind of, you know, again, going back to Google or YouTube, try to find the facts yourself and see what really did happen. Then you're just like, oh, okay, they've just been lying to me the whole time. I was a neocon. I joined the military after, you know, after high school, thinking that I was after high school and 9/11, thinking that I was doing the right thing. And then when I saw Ron Paul give a speech in 2007, I think it was against actually Giuliani regarding the 9/11, you know, the famous one.
Yeah.
And I was like, who the heck is this guy? And I was like looking into like getting back in, because McCain was actually talking about, you know, going to war with Iran. And I was like, oh, no, I got to support my country again, blah, blah, blah. And then I was like, who is this guy? And I looked into him, and then I saw what the mainstream media was saying. And then funny enough, it was Facebook. That's where I saw, actually, I saw this clip from one of my friends who's a Democrat and also is now a Democrat, or like even more far left now, which is hard for me to believe. But he was sharing this Ron Paul thing, like, you know, kind of opening people up, because he did resonate with the anti-war left. And then from there, I was just like the rabbit hole. And I was like, oh, now he's talking about ending the Fed and what is the Federal Reserve and how is money made and blah, blah, blah. And then it's just like, oh, wow, this is a whole another world that we're not taught in school. And it's so important to know and to, you know, teach kids and teach everybody, or try to, you know, wake people up, because it's just, we live in this crazy kind of waking up. It's like this false reality that we've all grown with for so long. And it's just, and that's like one of the beauties of the internet, was because it created this, you know, the ethos of the internet is like free speech and connecting people and, you know, peer-to-peer communication, peer-to-peer everything. And now, you know, it's gone so far. And now I think it seems like big tech and the powers that be and the government or whoever you want to, you know, blame are kind of like, oh, whoa, this cat's out of the bag. But we need to rein this control back in.
We can't let people know that the Federal Reserve is private. How can you know?
Yeah. That's the one. The one thing where you talked about just asking people why asking Democrats, you can do the same thing to Republicans too, why they believe what they believe.
Yeah.
The even more basic one that you can just do to both those kinds of people is you can just ask them why they think democracy is good.
Right. And then mention that democracy is never mentioned in the Constitution, Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence. It's never mentioned once in any of those documents.
Yeah.
And then you can look into the Founding Fathers and see what they said about democracy. It's not good, because it's obvious. And now that's one of the things that actually started to interrupt you, but that triggers me watching mainstream media, because they're always like, democracy, our politicians, democracy, democracy. It's like, okay, again, like, even was it, is it true that that Benjamin Franklin quote, or he mentioned that democracy is two wolves and a sheep
deciding what's for dinner?
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to get a little more graphic, I mean, gang rape is a democratic decision, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, so.
I guess you can bring it there.
Yeah. Sorry. We had this guy Legal Man on. Have you ever heard him?
I don't think so.
He's pretty black pilled, but he's an old lawyer who he goes the hardest against like constitutional conservatives, just because they never back anything up and they're just as bad. But we had him on, and we got Deborah to renounce democracy.
Interesting.
So
I mean, it's just, you know, democracy, you're forcing your will on other people, and that's not right. That's never right. Yeah. You know.
Yeah.
Sounds morals.
And that's a crazy thing about the Democratic Party too, because they're, I would say, the ones that are talking about democracy the most. It's like, democracy is the worst from the minority, which you guys are supposed to be supporting.
Yeah. And just the whole thing about how like voting is the most important thing to do. It doesn't matter who you vote for, just vote, you know. And
it's
I know these poor people, like, they just stand out online, you know, for hours and hours and hours. You know, and if they have to pee, then too bad. You know, and I feel so bad for them, because they really do feel like this is the most important, you know, duty. It's like they take it on as a huge civic responsibility, and it's already rigged. You're going in there, you're wasting so much time.
Selection, not an election. And how about, like, just going back to big tech, like, how about Facebook, Instagram, all the big tech platforms promoting, yeah, vote. Where's your voting thing? You know, where's your voting location and your poll location and blah, blah, blah. Every day it's like X, X, X. Okay, stop. Okay, I get it. I get it. I get it. Like, it's everywhere. I understand. And it's like,
it's really felt more like propaganda with the Trump campaigns than like ever before. It was crazy. Or the Trump election.
Yeah. And that was one of the things that I appreciated about Trump was that at the very least, like, I don't believe that, you know, I think that he's part of the World Wrestling Federation, like Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
That pinned two sides against each other that were in collusion, you know, just to create a show. It was the same thing, just on a grander scale. And he's been an actor for like more than a decade, more than anything, really. But at the very least, I will say under Trump, he did at least get, I would say, more people woken up to the idea to not trust the mainstream media, which I can appreciate. And he just, you know, at the very least, I would say that it was more entertaining. Oh, she goes again.
The thing about it though is, if from what I've gone through like every situation in my head, like he's good, he's bad, he did this good, he did this bad. But do you think if Hillary Clinton had been elected, that the right wing of America would have let it get as far as it is right now? Or if they need someone like Donald Trump to kind of just like, I mean, because he's the one that locked everything down. He did the whole warp speed thing and he was pushing the vaccine and all that stuff, you know?
I don't think it was a matter of if, because I don't think it's us deciding, you know, if Hillary gets elected or if
Trump
gets elected. I mean, it's
exactly. I agree.
I was going to say, you have the military industrial complex that makes, you know, over $1 trillion a year that we know of. You know, that's the public budget. So imagine just, you know, you're these huge corporations that have been embedded with the government, you know, big pharma, big military, big agriculture, big everything, trillions and trillions of dollars. And all of a sudden, you know, an election comes up every 4 years and you're like, okay, yeah, sure. We're just going to let, you know, we'll just let the people decide. Sure. Yeah. This is like, you know, all our business, our family. This is everything that we've ever stood for. And we've been embedded with the government forever. And they voted this way. Oh, okay. Yeah, sure. We're going to let that happen. Like, I highly doubt that's what goes on.
Yeah. What's your guys' opinion on the whole COVID passports?
I think it's great. No, I will say I do believe that it is great, because we're getting to a point now where we see a line being drawn in the sand. And we can see more visibly, you know, it's more transparent as far as who we want to do business with, who we want to associate with, and who we want to move forward with, and who we want to live close with, and, you know, create communities with. So it's almost, you know, it's a little bit, it's like ripping a Band-Aid, in my opinion, even though things are going so fast right now, and it is actually very terrifying. But at the end of the day, it's like,
double-edged sword.
Yeah, you know, we were going this way anyway. So, hey, let's just get this over with. And I just want to, you know, be peaceful with my family and other people that are like-minded. So if you guys want to have your vaccine passports and all this craziness and whatever, go do your thing. We're going to go, you know, live in the woods or something and create an intentional community and try to network with people that are like-minded like ourselves.
Yeah, we're going to have our kids build up their natural immunity by playing in mud and eating dirt and all that fun stuff that we did as kids.
Well, what should people who don't want to be domestic terrorists do then?
We grow gardens, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
How are you? Salt style watermelons. Okay.
You're awful quiet over there, Deborah. How are you feeling about the passports these days?
Well, I think it's a terrible idea. Although I am vaccinated. But yeah, to limit your ability to move freely and do what you want to do is just a horrible idea.
I asked you on the last show, what do you think those of us should do if it, that don't receive the vaccination by choice, what do you think we should do in case it actually happens? I asked you last week, what do you think, did you change at all? You said we should go protest Safeway.
I don't recall saying that, but yeah, I don't know what people should do. I mean, I worry about it. I don't know.
black market,
yeah,
COVID cards.
I see opportunity. Well, yeah, there's that. And there's also, okay, so Delta's gonna, you know, Spirit Airlines, whatever, is gonna kick us off or not let us allow to fly. Okay, well, guess what? I think we definitely have enough people to raise enough money to create our own airlines, create our own airstrips, create our own airports, create our own concert halls, to create our own governments. I mean, I really do believe this is kind of the turning point, or at least we're getting closer to that point. And it needs, like, again, you know, it needs to happen anyway. So let's nip it in the bud.
Yeah.
You're very positive. I live somewhere between there and like the frustration of like, why do I have to walk into a deli and now, you know, have to make a case for whether or not I'm vaccinated? That's just crazy. You know, like having a pharmacist or having someone who's going to slice my deli meat for me is going to sit there and say, okay, well, show me your papers. Like, are you vaccinated? Like, are you allowed in here? You know, it's just like, what world are we living in? It's so Orwellian. It's crazy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, but my whole thing is like, I don't want to be a patron to those people anyway.
I know you that way. So. I know. You're very.
We got to shift. We got to, every day we vote. Voting is important. You vote with your money, and you vote with your attention. So we have to shift. We have to shift our mentality now, and we should have been doing this a long time ago. That's part of, again, what Float's all about. Let's
shift
our attention to better companies, better tech companies, people doing good things.
Yeah.
We had you guys on because you're from Float. We recently received our first, we didn't get a strike, so we're not that cool yet. We got our first warning. Next one will be a strike. And then I think you get 3 strikes and you're totally gone.
What were you guys talking about? If you don't
mind. I think they just cited, medical misinformation.
Yeah. Oh, they were talking about vitamin C.
Yeah, you brought
was
up
good.
Vitamin C and helps.
Yeah, and sunlight. We said sunlight and being outside helps you.
Whoa.
Yeah. No, but, you're getting a little too extreme here, yeah. Adam.
It's like drinking. I know. I'm
Deborah, back up.
I know.
Don't push multivitamins on people, okay, guys? It's not safe. Okay.
And so, if a little podcast like ours is going to get that, we have like 385 YouTube subscribers. We get 2,000 downloads per episode for the actual audio podcast. So nothing big. And let's see. So, and then I saw last week, I think James Corbett finally got nuked off YouTube.
That was this past week. Yeah. That was like 2 days ago.
Took long enough.
Yeah. I couldn't believe he made it that far. And then a bunch of people I know that have had podcasts for years and years and never had any trouble on YouTube finally started getting strikes like last week. So something's going on where it's just everything's going to start going away. And so that's why it's such great timing that we got you guys on. Can you tell us the ins and outs of what you're doing with Float and how it came about and all that?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it started off in February 2019. Actually, before that, I would say December of 2018, January of 2019. We actually were working on a wallet, a cryptocurrency wallet focused on privacy coins. something that was just going to be easy for people, the average person, to understand. And I actually was making a lot of friends in the independent media space. I'm good friends with Josh Sigurdsson of World Alternative Media, Luke Radowski of We Are Change, Dan Dix of Press for Truth. And I mean, those three people alone, they've been censored off YouTube so many times. I mean, demonetized, getting their chats messed with for live streams, getting their ad revenue taken away. I mean, it's just like watching YouTube mess with them so badly just enraged the both of us, because that's their livelihood. I mean, Josh Sigurdsson went from just being a kid to putting out YouTube content, and he was making like how much?
Yeah, he got to 150,000 subscribers over the course of years, and Dan Dix 250,000 subscribers, and they're making, you know, they started making, you know, $7,000 to $10,000 a month. You know, where they can actually just make
videos.
Yeah. And just focus on that. And that was like, you know, their career that they've spent so many years building up and developing and building these communities behind them.
Mm-hmm. and you know, these people, some of these people have families, and watching YouTube just mess with them and take away their ad revenue or demonetize a video here and there.
Or even they've even reversed super chats during live streams, which is crazy.
So people are trying to give them money from their hard earned, you know, from their wallets. And YouTube is saying, no, you can't do this.
And they wouldn't even reverse the charge. They just wouldn't pay the creator.
So they'd still, YouTube would just keep it.
Yeah. They take 30% normally. And so they just took 100%. They're like,
it's just crazy. So fast forward, we are working on this wallet and I'm making a lot of friends in the independent media space. And, you know, we're very aware of what's going on. And we made a decision that we're just going to stop production with the wallet and focus more on building a social media network. Kingsley and I have, you know, we've been on social media for over a decade, but I mean, what do we know about building a social media app? You know, like nothing, like we're both entrepreneurs, but we kind of were just like, okay, let's try this. You know, we had tried to move off of Facebook and YouTube and all the big tech platforms before using the existing already there alternative medias. And unfortunately, they just weren't where we wanted them or needed them to be, you know, and I felt like we had no input, you know? So yeah, so Float was born. The idea was born in like mid-January 2019.
Or yeah, no, we still didn't even have, no, we got into Boost VC, which is a startup accelerator in San Mateo run by Adam Draper. And even like when I got there, because they gave us some pre-seed money to start, you know, building. And even when I got there the first day, I was like, hey, we're going to change it up. Cause they invested in the privacy, the privacy wallet. And, but they liked the idea cause they also saw, you know, Adam Draper mentioned that, you know, he listens to Joe Rogan and he noticed that Joe Rogan, you know, some of the things that he touches on was now being kind of censored, or you can just tell that Joe Rogan's what he was saying, his messaging was becoming different and different the larger that he got. So yeah, we ended up launching in late July 2019, and yeah, we've just been growing ever since. We have some really exciting things. We're excited. I mean, we have the social network side where you can, you know, upload everything normal social, you know, videos, text posts, images,
long form, short form,
yeah, memes, whatever, audio, which is pretty cool. And we have live streaming. We have every account comes with a crypto wallet. Right now we support BTC, Bitcoin, but we're going to be supporting other cryptocurrencies in the future. We have tipping on the platform. One of the unique things with us is that we're connecting people. And we're also connecting payment channels using cryptocurrency. So for instance, again, like, you know, if you send a super chat during a YouTube live stream, Google takes 30%. Well, we don't sit in there as a middleman. You, as a content creator, you get 100% of the revenue that you generate on Float. We're going to be introducing Float Market and a bunch of other things coming down the pipeline. And we just raised some more money. We found a good group of investors that are willing to back us. So we have some really exciting things down the pipeline.
That's awesome. So we could like live stream our podcast on Float.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Wow. We'll have to look into that.
Yeah.
Let us know how we can help. We'll get you all set up.
Yeah, it's been pretty cool during this crypto, you know, bull run, because a lot of people that were with us early when Bitcoin was like $10,000 or lower, they were getting tips. And then all of a sudden they open their wallet again. They're like, oh, okay. And I was like, you know, $1,000 or whatever.
Yeah. It's cool. It's cool that we can see like your
net worth going up.
Yeah. Going up in lifetime. I got lucky. I'm a union elevator constructor, and I've got like a decent retirement, and our union, like everybody, like nationwide, I think a lot of people got slow. So they let us take out like $25,000 out of our retirement without that extra penalty.
Oh,
nice.
So I did that and I bought Ethereum and Bitcoin and some other secret stuff. So
smart, nice. Man. Nice.
Yeah. And that was, I think it was 12. Bitcoin was 12,000 when I did it. And then I'd been in Ethereum since it was $90. So
nice.
It's going to the moon right now.
Yeah.
Killing it.
But yeah, I'm trying to get Deborah involved. We had a guy from the Free State Project on, who's a big Ravencoin guy. Have you heard of that stuff yet?
Yep. Is it Bruce Fenton?
No, it was Aaron Day.
Mm.
He's on Twitter. His name's Aaron Ravencoin is Bitcoin 3.0 day. So yeah, it was, Deborah didn't make that one. It was, wasn't the most exciting episode, but it was definitely, definitely really informative. I'm still like, you know, I'm not a very, very, tech savvy. So I have crypto. I don't really know what to do with it, but you know,
Well, let us know. King and I, we actually met at a Bitcoin meetup, or because of Bitcoin. And he and I are the organizers of the Las Vegas Bitcoin meetup since 2014. So if you ever need any help, let us know. We'll be happy to help. Oh,
that's awesome. Thank you so much. Yeah, it's all these people that got into, you know, just like going to these, in this time, it's weird how you have to meet people and stuff. It's like I met people because I heard about Freedom Cells. I went to just meet up with a bunch of people that I didn't know at the park during last summer, you know, and it was weird and uncomfortable, but it's like, that's who I spend most of my time with now. And it's pretty, pretty neat that that's happening. And there's all these avenues, and I know people are all around the world from the podcast. And, but
it's a good community to be in, you know. Yeah. I feel like this community, you know, cause we go to a lot of community events. Where do you live, Adam?
I live about 3 miles over the border from Portland, Oregon.
Okay. So there's like there was a festival like near you called Sasquatch Freedom Festival.
Yeah, I was there.
Yeah. Nice. So we unfortunately did not. Okay. Oh, no. Nice.
He hasn't taken it off since.
That's so funny.
And move aside. Let him see the flag.
Oh, yeah. I got that too.
Oh, nice.
Oh, nice. Love that. Yeah, we didn't make that one, unfortunately, but like,
you didn't want to go camp out in Washington State in November.
Believe me, we would have, if we could have made
it. I don't know about that.
We Airbnb'd it a little bit. but we were there all Saturday. It was cool.
So we went to Pork Fest last year for the first time, which was great.
Yeah.
Then we went to Jackalope. We actually got married at Jackalope.
Oh, right.
Which is in Northern Arizona, similar type of event. And then we just threw, I'm not sure if you know, but Float Fest. Yeah, which is a similar type of event in the middle of Texas.
Mm-hmm.
So that was it was great. We had like 250 to 300 people show up, you know, camp,
tents, RVs, tiny homes. It was people were vending. It was so fun.
They had 105 acres of farmland, a beautiful ranch.
I would buy my coffee in the morning, and then the vendor would hand me back silver dollars
or bullets. We were doing 9 mil for a dollar.
Yeah.
So awesome.
People were just, you know, is or a cryptocurrency.
Mm-hmm.
We had
that's Sam such a good idea. I've got a whole bunch of 223 in my garage that I could like give people change with.
I'll buy them.
Yeah, so
don't do that. I'll buy them.
I reload, so I got. I'm good to go for a while.
Oh, cool. Nice.
Yeah.
It was a great time.
You guys had Sam doing comedy.
I had Del Bigtree do a speech.
We're doing like a big swap cast with a couple other friends and Sam Tripoli tomorrow afternoon.
Oh, nice.
And then did you guys have Tina Marie there too?
Yep.
Yeah, she's coming on at the start of next month. So I'm really excited for that. Yeah.
Yeah, we love Tina. She's a good friend of ours. And you know, just we support Learn the Risk all the way.
Yeah. Learn the Risk is Tina Marie. She was friends with, what's the woman's name who passed away?
Brandy Vaughn.
And Brandy Vaughn had been a sales rep for a vaccine manufacturer, right?
Yeah.
And
was it Moderna?
Merck.
And she saw the light and became an activist, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
what's her name?
Brandy Vaughn.
Okay.
Oh, it's a crazy story.
It is. She was totally healthy, and then all of a sudden one day she showed up dead in her home.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're having
all sorts of other weird things that were happening as far as
and then her like Tina Marie's relationship to her was they were just really good friends and involved in the Learn the Risk together. And so Tina Marie's been making the rounds, Deborah, and telling the whole story. So she's coming on with us next month.
Yeah. So I just got a phone call, and it is my mom. Oh. We're on a podcast, Mom. Say hi. Oh, it looks like her audio is out, but I'll call you later. I'll tell you.
I I said, thanks for being on a podcast. I look terrible.
You look great, Mom. So this is Adam and Deborah, and this is Deborah Gets Red Pilled. So Deborah is Adam's mother-in-law, and they do a podcast every week.
Yeah, a couple times a week.
Couple
times a week.
We'll have them. Kingsley
will
do a podcast with me.
Oh, my. See, now you started it. We'll do it.
Yeah, we're going to do it live on Float.
That would be great. We have a lot of things to talk about.
Yeah, I know. Oh, boy. Trump all the time. All right. I love you. I'll call you later.
He's secret president.
Bye.
Bye.
Special guest, Kelly Bowen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey. Where is your mom? Where is she?
She's in New York right now.
Upstate.
So she is like, she wants to get the hell out of there. She like despises Cuomo. He's just like adding so many restrictions. It's crazy. So she's really wanting to, she keeps begging us to like move to Texas, which I'm begging Kingsley to move to Texas. So there's a lot of pressure riding on this man right here. Mm-hmm. Yeah. She wants to move out there with us. So,
yeah. Yeah, Deborah was a big Bloomberg guy in the primaries. That's who she supported. And you did. I've got the receipts, Deborah. I can go back and look at my text messages.
You make me sound like I'm, you know, like a holy roller. Committed.
Yeah, so you guys are thinking about getting to Texas. Where would you go in Texas?
We found the perfect spot.
Okay, you don't have to blow it up if you don't want.
No, we want to blow it up. That's okay. The point. Okay. Okay. So it's like anywhere from 90 minutes to 2.5 hours away from any big city in Texas. Yeah. So it's 2.5 hours from Dallas, Fort Worth. It's 90 minutes away from Austin. It's about 2 hours from San Antonio. It's about 2 hours from Houston. Actually, probably less to Houston. So it's like right smack dab. It's unincorporated land. The city itself does not have a police department.
Beautiful. Yeah, they have a sheriff.
They have a sheriff, but
actually, the sheriff showed up the first day of Float Fest.
Yeah, but it's on it's basically the town where we held Float Fest.
Yeah,
and it is a little run down. You know, it definitely it's rural. It's very rural. It needs some TLC.
I'm run down.
Yeah. But what big city isn't run down right now?
Yeah.
But it has
it's perfect.
Yeah, it's good. It's centrally located. And you know, just looking at like the economic opportunity of Texas, even though a lot of Californians, no offense, are moving to Texas, and you know, but mostly those people are moving to Austin.
Yeah.
So, you know, okay.
Yeah, yeah. Austin's it's just Los Angeles now.
Right.
But it's not even like that cool of a place. Like it looks like, you know, I'm sure it was rad in the 90s, like when Portland was still an awesome place to live, you know, but I went there, you know, for Deborah's other daughter's wedding a few years ago. It just looks like, I don't know if you guys are familiar with the Bay Area. It looks kind of like a mix between San Rafael and Walnut Creek, you know, it just like, looks like just two homogenized, you know, little towns trying to look like they have, you know, old style stuff or whatever, you know.
However, you and Emily did find a place to play chicken shit bingo.
Yeah, that was cool. That was kind of like off the beaten path in old Austin, you know. There's still some of that there. I'm reducing Austin to much less than it actually is, but I don't, you know, I'm sure there's
it's
way
funny.
More.
Austin's fun to visit. You know, I would say less now because of obviously COVID.
Everywhere is less fun.
And of course, like the flood of Californians into Austin, making it a little bit unbearable, but it's okay. Just the outskirts of Texas though is, I don't know, there's something about it. Like you cross into the border of Texas and like all of our stress just melted away. We're just like, this is where we need to be. Like we need to be here.
Yeah. That happened twice too. So I was like, okay, that's confirmation bias.
Yeah.
And I think like we were actually stuck on the farmland for Float Fest.
Our RV, like our track,
our slide.
Track broke, and so we weren't able to push the slide back in, so we were actually out there for like 4 or 5 days long.
Yeah, which was nice. And like just coming back, like we were just driving through all the small cities mostly except for maybe El Paso to Float Fest, and then coming back I'm just like looking at big cities and I was like, why do we, like, after being on, you know, 105 acres of beautiful land, and like, why do we live so close to all these people? Like, I'm looking outside, and it's just like house.
I can like see these are all strangers. My neighbor's bedroom window.
Yeah, like I don't know these people. Like, what is the point? Like, I just, you know, I just feel like,
and we, nobody talks to each other.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, yeah. Like, and it's like, it's different. Like, if you know, if you live next door, like, we'd probably be like, you know, really good friends and hang out and do, you know, yeah, and start a revolution here. But but no, you know, all these people, like, you know, I'm sure they're nice people or whatever, but I don't really care to know them. They don't really care to know me. And it's just, that's kind of, you know, the way most communities are now, I'd say, at least everyone that I've grown up in and lived in. So, you know, I just think it's time to kind of relook. And I think we're getting at that point in our lives where we're like, okay, we're, you know, gonna start a family and this and that. So
yeah, let's, that's get where out we're
of
at
too. City. Let's, or let's, you know, let's form our own community. Let's pick a spot. And a lot of people are looking into that right now. A lot of people are looking at the van life, RV life, or tiny homes, or just more sustainable living. Like, I think the American dream is kind of out the door as far as this point.
Yeah, it's now living in a van down by the river.
that's
like,
the dream.
It's like everything my mother warned me about when I was a child.
Yeah, it's so crazy because I don't know if it was just because I was younger or what. I'm old. I'm 41 years old now. But when it seemed kind of like there was this mass exodus from the suburbs and everybody wanted to come live in the cities. All these, you know, I build elevators. All I do is put in 3-stop elevators in condo buildings with two floors of live space with a floor of retail at the bottom. That's all there is here. They're tearing down these beautiful old neighborhoods in Portland. That's all they do. And now it seems like, yeah, like you said, there's this line and there's going to be a bunch of people that want that, who don't want a car, who don't want, you know, a backyard at all or anything. They want everything brought to them. They'll be able to go shopping downstairs and get their clothes flown in with a drone, just like the World Economic Forum says. And then, like, the rest of everybody wants to get the hell out. And
which is fine. That's totally fine if people want that. But, like, at the end of the day, we're just hoping that it doesn't come down to, like, those people coming after us or demonizing us for want nothing to do with that, you know.
And yeah. I have no problem, like, with technology and automation, but it's like, who's in charge of that technology? And right now, you know, it's the wrong people. So as far as, like, entrepreneurs, especially tech entrepreneurs are concerned, like, I feel like a lot of us are just like, oh, we have a lot to catch up on because there's like infrastructure that we have to rebuild. There's or even you know, obfuscate. There's hardware we have to do because they control all the hardware. There's software, obviously, which is like the easier problem.
We're now building to build against, like, what is currently out there
Not really even against. I would just say offering another choice, you know, another option.
Yeah.
Better choice.
Yeah.
What have you guys done to protect yourselves from something like what happened to Parler happening to you guys?
Yeah, it's funny. Yeah, so that's something. So originally we were on Amazon AWS because out of the Startup Accelerator, we got, you know, like $100,000 of free credits.
You know what that means, Deborah?
No, I don't.
Okay, let me explain to her real quick. So Parler was that alternate, you know, uh-huh, Twitter, and it got demonized. They called it like white power Twitter, you know, just because people that were kicked off Twitter were going there and they were letting anybody on. But they made the mistake of using the Amazon server space, right, guys?
Yeah.
And so Amazon, Apple, and who else colluded and just shut them down. Apple and Android took their apps off their phone, and then Amazon just shut them down.
Yeah. So we're actually in the middle. So we've moved over to another server provider, and then when the Parler stuff went down, this server provider, which has never come out really for or against anything before, they said that we support free speech, but
we support a free and open internet.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah. Sorry, yeah. They don't support free speech. We support a free and open internet, but we agree with what happened to Parler. And so we're now actually in the midst of moving from this new server company to another one that is definitely
more on our side, philosophically aligned with
us, and again, sure, you know, it's great for us because then we're like able to say, okay, well, we're going to support good people doing good things.
What kind of, have you implemented anything like community guidelines or anything like that?
Yeah, we have very basic community guidelines.
We have 7 rules.
Yeah, we're gonna be, you know, expanding upon these a little bit, but really it's just meant for just providing a you know, just basic stuff like no username squatting. Yeah, we're pulling it up right now. Basic things that, you know, that will just help the, you know, anybody can really agree on. No spamming, no doxing, no malware.
Can we share our username? Screen?
Yeah. I think share.
It's okay. Screen. It's seven things. We can just
okay.
read it off right here. Adult imagery that contains nudity must be marked with NSFW. Impersonation accounts are not allowed. Parody accounts are allowed but must be marked as such. And so, you know, very basic things.
And got it. Must be at least 13 to create a float account.
Yeah. So we might. And that's the whole thing. Like even with these the big tech platforms, it's. You know, it's fine that they're going the way that they're what they're doing is, you know, it's their platform, whatever. You know, I agree with that. But the community guidelines are so vague that it, you know, like for you, for instance, you probably, you know, they don't tell you what you broke, what rule you broke and how you broke it. They're just like, it's like a blank statement.
Hey, you went against our community guidelines. Yeah, it's like, don't what? Do it again. Like we're just like.
We have what? So many friends like they got kicked off of Twitter, Facebook, and all the others where it's just, it literally like, it'll be just the blank statement. And then there's like literally a blank for what they're supposed to like fill in that they, you know, what violation had occurred and they just leave it blank. It's like,
okay. Whitney Webb just got kicked off of Patreon and they actually said like, you told the truth too good. Like,
really?
Oh, that's yeah. Like, yeah. So
that's crazy.
It's interesting. And, you know, going back to, you know, the steps that we're taking to basically not be the next Parler. It's interesting because last night I actually found out that MeWe is on AWS.
Mm.
So I don't know if you're familiar with MeWe.com, but they're another social media site that's very popular. And it's interesting that they are on AWS and they've been on AWS for so long and they don't get taken down.
Yeah, makes you wonder.
So,
yeah, it gets to the point where, like, even with James Corbett, like, just jokingly, we were talking with other independent journalists, and we were just like, well, how come he hasn't been kicked off yet? You know, you start to, like, just question some things. But, you know, we knew that it was eventually going to happen. I think also with James Corbett, it was a matter of that he never opted into ad revenue, which I think they scrutinize very heavily versus people that do. Yeah.
Yeah, and maybe... You know, he just uses YouTube because people, I mean, it's so hard to find his stuff on YouTube. I've typed in the exact description of his films and they won't come up.
Yep.
But maybe like just having, cause he has his own space, right? Where he posts everything also, maybe just knowing that you have that, like makes you less of a target.
Yeah. Yeah. Who knows? It's like, it's just crazy. And it all went, you know, it's been happening for a long time. Like I said, I started noticing all the censorship stuff back in Ron Paul days where I would be at a physical, you know, Ron Paul speech or rally or whatever, hear what he said, the media would be there. And then I would see the media coverage like an hour later. And it was completely the opposite of you know, what transpired.
I could not believe that, like what they did to Ron Paul, the media, what they did to Ron
Paul.
Yeah.
There's that famous, John Stewart clip where they show they say like whoever was leading in the primaries
and Ron Paul was
second, and they said, so, you know, Mitt Romney or whoever, McCain is leading, and then they said the third place guy, but they didn't say Ron Paul is in second place.
It's like, hello, you're just skipping. Yeah, it was crazy. It's funny, I wasn't around in those days because I was an Obama fan. And you know, like when I watched debates, like Republican debates, I was like, who is this weird kook, right?
Yeah.
Because like, that's how the media made him seem, like he was just kooky, you know? And he
also didn't talk in like sound bites.
Right. Yeah. Which that's his problem.
And you see in that famous clip that Kingsley was talking about where he just destroyed Rudolph Giuliani, people still weren't on his side for what he was saying. They were cheering on Giuliani for being like, I was the mayor of New York during 9/11. Yeah. We need to get the terrorists.
My favorite is when Ron Paul was in, I think it was South Carolina debates for the 2012 elections, I think maybe. Yeah. And he brought up the, as far as foreign policy, the golden rule.
Yeah.
And for this, like, you know, supposedly religious audience, and he brings up the golden rule and they start booing him. It's like, oh, whoa, okay, this is very Orwellian.
Yeah.
Or when someone someone asked a question, the moderator asked a question about like abortion or something, and Ron Paul is a gynecologist, right? Yeah. Like he's a doctor, and they just completely skipped over him. They just like did not ask him that question at all.
It's yeah, and about foreign policy too. And he's like, I'm the only veteran on the stage and the only doctor on the stage, and you skipped over me for both
of those questions.
Yeah.
It's funny because like in what year? 2015. 2015 was like the year I came into Ron Paul. I wish I was around in those days, but I watched a documentary about, you know, the media blackout surrounding him, and I was in awe. I could not believe it. And that was my first, I think, experience looking at censorship and like what that looked like.
And yeah. How did Ron Paul people organize back in those days? It was through Facebook. It was through Meetup. It was through all these online, you know, forums. And we even had to create our own forums because even back then there was things like shadow banning and things that we started to take notice of.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that was like the, you know, big eye opener. And just the to see like, you know, it's crazy because like looking back in history, it's like, hard to believe really anything that is mainstream history, because we can see how they manipulate information now at an instance, you know, today. Well, back in the day, I mean, we didn't have cell phones. We didn't have all these people that were able to communicate with each other. It was going through a certain channel all the time. And it's hard to believe that, you know, anything that we're taught.
Or our kids are
taught.
Yeah. Yeah. What's your guys' feeling on, Libertarian Party politics today? Or do you keep up at all, or did Ron Paul do such a good job that you're a non-voter now?
I'm pretty good friends with Spike Cullen, even before he entered the race.
They started live streaming on Float pretty early.
Yeah,
who is Spike Cohen?
He was Spike the Libertarian Cullen. Vice presidential candidate.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, he's just a fun guy that I was doing podcasts with, you know, in like 2019, 2020. And so seeing him on the Libertarian ticket, I felt so torn because I wanted to support a friend of mine. But at the end of the day, like, I just did not believe in what he was doing. It was
it's the party stuff. Yeah.
The party stuff. Yeah. It's funny watching an anarchist on that stage, because he is an anarchist. And so his whole, I talked to his co-host Matt Wright on the Muddied Waters Media show. I don't know if you guys are familiar with their podcast, but it's called Muddied Waters Media. And Matt's like, basically he's up there to wake people up and to kind of reinvigorate the party. I wish that it was a Vermin Supreme Spike Cullen ticket, because that would have just put so much eyes on you know, libertarianism. I really think that would have been like the golden ticket, and it's a shame that Joe was on that ticket. I don't think she really did anything. I think Spike, they ran Spike ragged, man. Like, he has MS. Like, he was on tours multiple cities a day. It was just crazy.
But yeah, I think it's interesting. Like, I think voting on the local level can work. Like, even with the group, again, going back to Ron Paul, like it was like 250 of us that were able to take over the Republican Party in the county and the state for Ron Paul. And I was like amazed how little numbers you actually have to, you know, to actually show up and vote in party politics to get your people elected and run your own slate of Republicans or everybody. Like, we took over the Clark County Republican Party here, which is the largest party in the state. And we had Ron Paul represented in the state for the Tampa National Convention for 2012. So that kind of opened my eyes to the fact that, well, if you do have even just, you know, a small amount of people, I mean, 250 people for Las Vegas of like a million, you know, population. Now it's more, but back then that's, you know, it's really nothing. And so, but on the national level, I think it's just, you know, it's just a waste of time. It's really, and the whole, like, and money, the whole Libertarian Party, like, I was a Libertarian card member for a couple of years back in like 2009 or so. And it's just a waste of time. I would rather shuffle all that money and put it into something else. And I think right now, really, it's more, time is better spent really just, not focus on educating people so much. I still think it's important and everything, and let's try to wake as many people up as we can. But I think really more important is really just building, you know, communities with people that are already woken up, because mm-hmm. it's getting to that point where organize, you know, like we just talked about before. Yeah, we have to organize.
Yeah, I'm right there with you guys. I'd rather go tend to the chickens and plant a garden and, you know, mow my lawn than pay attention to any of that stuff and get out with people and, you know, figure out.
Want you and Deborah to come to Texas?
Not Deborah. She's pretty happy with where she is right now. She's a fan of oppression and slavery. God. So she likes being told what to do, and she likes having a government that treats her like an overbearing father. But my wife and I, we just like sat in bed this morning. We've been talking about it off and on, but the house is going on the market June 17th.
Oh, where, wow. Where do you think you'll go?
I mean, for now we're gonna wait it out. We're gonna go rent, you know, and stack money and buy crypto and figure out what to do with that. And maybe the bubble might pop and we'll be able to get something way cooler. But you know, we've talked about them all. I don't really want to live in Florida. It doesn't seem like a great place to homestead. I want to, I'd love Texas, like out by where you guys are. I'd love to be able to, I'm a union member, so I can transfer, but I have to be kind of close to a city, you know, but mm-hmm. I'm willing to commute a little bit. And I'd love to be able to just kind of work a little bit more while I get everything else organized and maybe be able to transition into something else and more entrepreneurial, or just, you know, being off by ourselves, doing our own thing if it comes to that.
Yeah.
But yeah, out there.
Do you have kids?
No, we're trying though.
Nice.
So yeah. Yeah, we looked into that. I had this guy, Steve Poikinen, on last week. He has his own, this show called Slow News Day, and he told us about Eastern Tennessee. So I was looking that up this week. That place looks pretty awesome. You can get like 10 acres with like a double wide on it for like $100,000 there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, we're up for anything. We just want to find our community and be around people that want to be around us, who want to be left alone also. So, you know, yeah. I like community, but I want a fence around what's mine too. So
it's reasonable.
Yeah,
for sure. I mean, for us, it's crazy, you know, backing up to what I was talking about earlier on in the call, you know, like we go to all these different events and, you know, we're very well versed in the community, I feel now. Compared to even just a couple of years ago, I've gotten to know so many different people and just the people who have the same philosophy of we do. And it's not like, not an echo chamber, but just people who just want to be left alone. And you know, the people who have the same overall outlook on life, like they just want to be free. You know, they don't want government intrusion.
And we're all willing to support each other.
And it just, everyone is the nicest people. I mean, people you just meet will come and help you.
Feed you, help, you know, like even during Flow Fest, there's, you know, people helping other people set up tents. They had just, you know, never known, never met.
I've never met a better community of people.
It's such, yeah. The whole like anarchist community is such an interesting overlap of different kinds of people. Like, it's pretty much like you, Kingsley, like you came to anarchy through being in the military, right? I came to it, you know, I grew up, I was a punk rocker, and I just don't want to be told what to do. And then there's this huge like contingent of like hippies, like the Grateful Dead parking lot. And like, you know, it's kind of weird to get used to, but it all kind of works out together. I'm not a big like festival guy, but we're having the second Sasquatch Freedom Festival in May up at the same spot. And I hope you guys can come. It's going to be really cool. And it'll be nice, really nice weather then. And then hopefully like we got all the bugs. I'm saying I didn't really organize it or anything, but I'll be there. And hopefully all the bugs are worked out and there's like a little more going on and people have booths and things like that. So
nice. Yeah. I've talked to, I think one of the organizers for that. And I think we're going to try to get involved somehow and help at least aid assistance and like organizing it. So that'll be really fun. And hopefully I'll have an RV by then. so I can come and support y'all. That would be so much fun.
Awesome, guys. I think that's a good spot to end it. We've been going exactly an hour. So Float, how do we get involved? How do we what do we do?
Yeah, just go to joinfloat.com and
F-L-O-T-E.
Well, yeah. Oh, I bought the other float too, so it auto agreed. Anyway. It is F-L-O-T-E and takes, 2 seconds to create accounts. We have, like I said, we have some really big updates that we're working on.
Do you guys have an app yet?
Yeah, so we have our Android app is in beta. Our iPhone app, we actually decided to discontinue.
Okay.
Because we figured that at least with Android, you can sideload the app, assuming that we're going to get taken down by Google eventually.
Yeah.
So you can sideload the app on Android. With Apple, you can't do that.
Okay.
So we decided to just try to, train our users to, you can easily use your browser to access Float if you're an iPhone user. And you can even save it to your homepage. So it's a shortcut. So it's just basically the same as having an app.
Yeah, you don't lose the experience of
We're also spoiled these days, and we're going to have to, people like us are going to have to get into the habit of just going to different websites, people's personal websites.
Like, my gosh.
These apps aren't going to support people like us.
Yeah, I love all users, but iPhone users, they frustrate me the most because they're like, you don't exist. You're not on the App Store. I'm like, have you used an internet browser before?
Yeah, yeah.
But it's super simple. And yeah, join. I'm King on Float. So if you search King, she's Erin.
E-R-I-N.
And join. Let us know. Message us. Shout us out on Float. And we can help you navigate around, help you meet new people.
If you ever need any help kind of like navigating the platform, I'm 100% here for y'all. I'll help you get live streaming going. If you need help like learning what the buttons do, I'll get on a video call with you and go through that with you guys. It's interesting because we have a lot of things coming down the pipe. So, while people are joining right now, people who join in a couple of weeks will see an entirely new interface. Because we are going to be releasing new design elements to the site. So,
yeah. Again, a big part of what we're doing with Float is kind of creating these online intentional communities, and not just like our own, like you can, create your own community on Float. And we see, the moment right now where anyone from an anarchist to really a Trump conservatives are the ones that care about what's happening as far as free speech and big tech and all this stuff that's going on with tech right now. So we welcome, we're open tent. All really you have to care about is this, I would say free speech, or not, you don't even really care. I mean, you can just block people that you don't want to, associate with. You're an adult, figure it out. And don't come, complaining to us if you see some sort of, some sort of meme that you don't like.
Yeah. Well, guys, this was way better than I expected. It was a ton of fun. I have to admit, I've got an account on Float. I just haven't been really checking in very much. So hopefully we can get it all worked out, and we can maybe start doing some streaming on there and stuff like that, and take advantage of everything that you guys have to offer. I love what you're doing, and you guys are so good for the community. And whenever you guys have anything new to update us on, please let us know, and you can use our platform for whatever you need.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Yeah.
Thank you guys.
It's going to be a real exciting 2021. So
I'll take
you up on that.
Yeah, already is. And hopefully we get to see you guys in May, and hopefully I get out to some sort of weird freedom hippie festival at some point. So
bring Deborah.
I'd love to. She'll
allow her to leave the state.
I would be down.
Gotta give her some rosé and a place to sleep.
Oh, she's fine. Oh yeah. You need rosé with Erin.
Love me some rosé.
All right, guys.
Thank you very much.
Right, thank
this
you guys.
Is really
Take care.
Educational.
Thank you so much. This
nice
is great. And we will be in touch. So, all right, guys. Thanks for listening. Peace to everybody. Love you all. Bye-bye.
Bye.